from the historic Corpus Christi Cathedral in Corpus Christi, Texas. We invite you to celebrate with us the sacred mysteries, listening to God's Word, and partaking in spiritual communion. Welcome to the Holy Mass.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Sisters and brothers, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observance of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and be worthy and be a worthy conduit in pursuit of, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "The priest shall receive the basket from you and shall set it in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean who went down to Egypt with a small household, and he lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders, and bringing us into this country. He gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, I have now brought you the first fruits of the products of the soil which you, O Lord, have given me. And having set them before the Lord your God, and I shall bow down in his presence." The word of the Lord.
Be with me, Lord. he clings to me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he acknowledges my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. I will deliver him and glorify him.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, what does Scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we preach. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. For the Scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit to the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I might give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
I know that in all of our hearts and thoughts this morning are the people in Ukraine and the threat of war, not only there but throughout the world. And so in that context, we're here today to pray and to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God, that we may continue to be in solidarity with the people of Ukraine. I was reading this week, someone asked, how do you defend yourself as a Christian, especially in the world today? In the past, there's been wars that we know who the enemy is, where they are, what they're going to do. Now we don't know. With terrorism and so many other ways, we don't know. And the person said, perhaps in this moment we learn the power of prayer. Jesus himself said, there are some things that cannot be taken care of by human effort. Some things, in talking to the disciples, some devils are expelled only by prayer. And I think it's a moment for us to reevaluate the power of prayer in our lives, the power of being in union with God in prayer, in adoration, in silence, to ask God, pleading with God, to end this terrible tragedy and to heal the relationships among all nations. The meaning of our lives is Jesus Christ. The meaning of our life, the beauty of our life, the identity of our life is Jesus Christ. That is a fact, sisters and brothers, that we need to hold close to our hearts, close to our lives, not only today, not only during Lent, but every day. My life has no meaning without Jesus Christ, because he is the fullness of revelation, not only of God, but of ourselves. To have his heart, to have his mind, is the purpose of our life. This is affirmed throughout the Gospels. Lent is about examination of that fact, evaluating that fact, where am I in my relationship with Jesus Christ, and recommitting myself to him. Examination of who he is, evaluating myself in my relationship to him, and recommitting myself to follow Jesus Christ and him alone. There are moments in our life, perhaps, when we've awakened ourselves to that reality. Something happens or we go on a retreat, and something happens in us where we are awakened to that fact. It's a beautiful moment when we understand who we are because we understand who Jesus Christ is. And some can never do that. We remember in John 6 where Jesus was preaching to the people, and he spoke about the bread of life, what we are about to celebrate in a few moments. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my bread, my flesh, and drinks my blood has eternal life. And so on in John 6. And we do know that in the crowd there, some walked away. Some walked away because they could not take it. They could not believe. They could not give themselves to that mystery of who he is. But most of us always want to realign our lives, correct our lives, to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's this special time of Lent that gives us the opportunity to do this. Again, as I have said so many times over the years, this is not about giving up something. Yes, that's part of it. But the focus of Lent is that examination, evaluation, and recommitment. If we give up whatever we give up, and on Easter Sunday we go right back to where we were, we failed. We may have done what we wanted to do in our giving up or in our prayer or in our social work, our work toward people, but if we're not changed, something went wrong. To examine ourselves in the person of Jesus Christ. And so for a moment we can look at himself, he himself. Jesus, of course, is God and man. And Jesus wanted to immerse himself completely in our life, totally human like you and me, in all things but sin. But he was also God. And so in the human side, he grew in an understanding of himself. And this is the beauty of his life and ours. We grow in an understanding of who we are. And it's not by memorizing things in the head, but it's by experiencing Jesus Christ in life. And so if we look at him in the temple at 12 years old, when Mary and Joseph came and said, "Why have you done this to us? You've walked away from us. We've been frightened. Where are you?" And he said these beautiful words, "Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus understood at 12 years old that he had a mission to accomplish. And it was not just his, it was the mission of God the Father, in whose name he came. And throughout his ministry, he reminded others that he did not come to do what he wanted to do. This is a matter of will. I did not come to do what I wanted to do, but I came to do what the Father asked me to do. Most of us live focused on our own wills. And this is what sin is. And later, a second time in the Jordan River, when he was baptized, that was affirmed. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen, listen to him." And so all of that brings us to understand that Jesus' mission was the will of the Father for you and me. Jesus came on earth. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that all who believe in him would have eternal life. The mission of Jesus is you and me. It's very personal. You and me. We are the mission of Jesus Christ. As we look at our world, we can see a desert. A desert of sin, a desert of need, a desert of injustice, a desert of broken relationships, a desert of hatred, a desert of abuse of one another, nation against nation, person against person. We live in a desert. And it's important, I think, for us in this Lent and in this first Sunday of Lent, where we experience Jesus' going into the desert to understand what our desert is like. We live in this mess. We live here. How do we live our life as disciples of Jesus Christ here? We can scream and holler like everyone else, and certainly there is need for a voice of peace and justice, right and wrong. But individually, have I examined my life? Is it belong to Jesus Christ? Do I evaluate my life, and am I committed to follow Him and Him alone? The mission of Jesus was to offset the failure, the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Do not eat of the fruit of knowledge. But they, in an expression of their own self-worth, that they could do it themselves, they disobeyed. In other words, saying to God, I do not need you. And sisters and brothers, that is the root of all sin. The root of sin is self-sufficiency. All temptations and all sin are rooted in the fact of self-dependence, ego. And so as we look at the devil tempting Jesus in the desert of Judea, he was tempted in three ways. Tempted in power, possessions, and pride. If you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread because you're hungry. Do something that will show your power. You don't need God. You can do it yourself. And look how Jesus responds to each of these temptations. What does he use? Arms? An evil tongue? Screaming? No. He uses the word of God. We do not live on bread alone. The greatest defense for you and I, especially for you and me, especially in this time of desert, is to use and to understand the word of God and its power of conversion in our life. If you want people to follow you, and Jesus was the devil was basically saying to Jesus, show them what you can do, that they can depend on you. Show them some kind of a miracle. Show your power. And Jesus refuted that with his words. The second one was an expression of possession. I have all of this and I can give it to you. Compromise with me, the devil is telling the Son of God. I have people in my power. They belong to me. They are attracted to what I can give them. Lower your standards and bargain with me. This is something we all have to deal with. Lower your standards. Walk between the two lines and don't make a decision. This is a horrible temptation for us to live a double life, to live in the world and to live of the world, where Jesus said, you live in the world, but not of the world. None of us will be completely accomplished in that in this world, but sisters and brothers, we do need to take an evaluation of this. Do we compromise our life? And again, we need the Word of God to understand what God wants of us. And the final temptation to Jesus was sensationalism. Throw yourself down and let the angels catch you. Don't all of us want to see a miracle? Wave your wand and the wars will be over. Wave your wand and this will happen. Sensationalism. And the people will follow you. You can give them everything. But Jesus reminds his disciples as he was successful in refuting the devil, he gave us his standard. If you want to be my disciple, what do you have to do? You have to deny yourself, deny that you're self-sufficient, deny so many things of your ego, take up your cross, not run away from difficulties, not run away from suffering, and follow me. Is it easy? No. And I know so many people suffering in so many ways, through economic hardships, searching for jobs, health, so many things. But even in those deserts, in those moments, deny yourself. The desire for some kind of sensational sign, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Because what? The grace of God is there. St. Augustine said something very beautiful that I would like to leave us with. And this is repeated throughout the Gospels as well, and the Old Testament as well. He said, our pilgrimage on earth cannot be exempt from trial. Remember, throughout the Old Testament, God tests, God examines through suffering those he loves. Hard to take, but it's true. Our pilgrimage on earth cannot be exempt from trial. We progress by means of trial. And this is the important thing to remember. No one knows him or herself except through trial. Or no one receives a crown except after victory, or strives except against an enemy or temptation. We prove ourselves. What do we prove? We prove that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We prove that we are loved by God. We prove that we are children of God. And we prove that the Holy Spirit is with us at all times. Sisters and brothers, we have 40 days of desert. And the larger desert will continue for all of our lives. But let's not resort to personal power, possessions, or pride. But let us have the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ, who in these trials, who in these tests, is simply saying to us, I am with you always until the end of time. Let us trust him and allow him and his Spirit to work in us, and there we will discover ourselves. We will discover true freedom. Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Today, St. Paul tells us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We call upon the name of the Lord together in this assembly today as we call to mind our needs and the needs of our brothers and sisters around the world.
For the church, that through fasting, prayer, and almsgiving, we may help to satisfy the physical and spiritual hunger of our neighbors around the world, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For world leaders and others in position of authority, that they may work for justice for all people, especially those who are maltreated or oppressed, we pray to the Lord. For those preparing for the sacraments of initiation during this Lenten season, they may know our support and God's grace as they become formally enrolled into the ranks of those to be initiated into the Church this Easter. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us as we face temptations, great and small, then we return to God for support and strength. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God may extend his healing hand upon those who suffer from illnesses in our community, especially those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus, and bless those who minister to them. We pray to the Lord. We pray for the intentions of this Mass. We pray for the internal repose of the souls of Frank Garza Jr., Mary Hong Pham, Roy and Alicia Arredondo, Marcy Perez, and the special intentions of Connie Cueva. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for all those prayers and intentions we offer to the Father in the silence of our hearts. For these prayers and intentions, we pray to the Lord.
And for the end of war and for peace, we pray to the Lord. Loving God, guide us as we wander through the deserts of temptation, losing awareness of your constant care. Sustain us by our Lenten journey, and as we make these prayers to you through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Give us the right disposition, O Lord, we pray, to make these offerings, for with them we celebrate the beginning of this venerable and sacred time. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For by your gracious gift each year, your faithful await the sacred Paschal feasts with the joy of minds made pure, so that more eagerly intent on prayer and on the works of charity, and participating in these mysteries by which they have been reborn, they may be led to the fullness of grace that you bestow on your sons and daughters. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim. The fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord,
and profess your resurrection
until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servants, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy, welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power and glory of God, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Thank you.
renewed now with heavenly bread, by which faith is nourished, hope increased, and charity strengthened. We pray, O Lord, that we may learn to hunger for Christ, the true and living bread, and strive to live by every word which proceeds from your mouth, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If you would please be seated for a moment. The ushers will be coming through the aisles again to take up a second collection for humanitarian relief.
Hello, I'm Father Pete Alisadro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with His love, peace, and joy, and may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.